You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio. All right. Hi, everybody. Today is December the 4th, 2016. And you're listening to the audio chat with myself, Apparato of fakeologist.com and of savechat.fakeologist.com. I'm here in the live stream at fakeologist.com/radio3 or fakeologist.com/audio chat. With my favorite researcher from Paris, France, Unreal. Hello, Unreal.
How are you doing?
Oh. I'm very, very, very well. Wonderful. The temperature is hovering at zero here on the north shores of Lake Ontario in Toronto, Canada, the media capital of Canada. We're across between New York and Europe. And, of course, we're probably a leading Agenda 2030 city, smart city, and one of the world's biggest melting pots. Successful melting pots of all time, for those that aren't familiar with Toronto. I'm not sure.
How big is Toronto? How many people live there?
Official city limits are about 2.5 million, but we have what's called the Golden Horseshoe, which is a U-shape that goes around the western end of Lake Ontario, which is one of the five Great Lakes. And that area is probably about 7 or 8 million people. We call that the Greater Toronto Area, or GTA. Now, the entire province of Ontario, which is probably as big as most of Western Europe, there's a website that compares geographic regions in terms of size. I can't remember what it's called, but it's kind of fun to play with. There's supposed to be about 11 million people or so in Ontario. But most of us live near the lake, which is near the border. A lot of people aren't familiar. Canadians just assume that Americans know about Canada, but of course it's not true because our media doesn't go there that way. The media only comes this way. But 95% of Canada is within 5 miles or maybe 10 miles of the U.S. border.
You mean the population? So,
yes, the population. That means that the vast majority of Canada is uninhabited and north of the border. Well, I guess that goes without saying, but yeah, the vast majority of Canada is uninhabited or sparsely inhabited, but most of us live around close to the border. Now, that's not true in every single province. Alberta people are farther away from the border, but overall, that's the way it works.
You could actually solve much of the immigration crisis by using some land up north there, then.
Well, it's not portrayed as a crisis in North America, and we don't get your media either. As much, so we don't really know what's going on over there. I would not call it a crisis here. I think the real crisis, as I've said before, is the crashing birth rate in Western countries. That is a crisis, I think. And I think as much as you don't like immigration in Europe, it's the only thing that's going to keep the Ponzi scheme going.
Yeah, I think that's a good distinction to make. It's like it's not like the world would not be functioning if we were like 5 billion instead of 7 billion, you know? So it's like to naturally let the number of inhabitants in each country balance out, I think it would just generate like a better birth rate also on the long term, in the sense that it would be better paid jobs, it would be more livable countries. But as you say, the capitalist model, it demands that we always create more and always produce more and that we always become more somehow.
Yeah, there has to be growth. But education and propaganda are the number one and two methods to control the population. When you educate people, they don't want to reproduce. And when you propagandize them, they really don't want to do it. You don't really have to do anything kinetic to stop or hinder population growth. But the population is going to shrink anyway. If that's the goal, then it is going to happen. I don't doubt it at all.
Think you're right. I think the population overall in the world is still rising. So it's like the ambition is clearly not to let it sink, but maybe it could be some kind of optional strategy here, where the rising infertility would make like a controlled or laboratory controlled childbirth more accepted and would be maybe easier to implement some kind of transhumanist agenda.
Yes. Actually, I just started watching, and I probably will not continue to watch, the new television show Westworld, which is all about humans interacting with transhumans. It's mostly blood and guts, and I'm not really into blood and guts. Actually, I don't like it at all, but I thought I would do it for research purposes because a lot of the podcasts are talking about it that I listen to, so I thought at least I'd familiarize myself with that concept.
I think it's worth watching, really. It's a lot of reprogramming for us in that film, I would guess. And the scary part is that some of the humans think they're humans, but may not really be humans.
Well, they're programmed to be human-like, so they're, I guess, the great worry, which is probably a fake worry or false worry, is that when you give them human qualities and give them some sort of sense of being human, they're going to start becoming sentient beings, which means they're going to start thinking for themselves and then revolt. I don't think that could ever happen with a robot, but they always push that idea.
I have referenced Dr. Daniels before. She's a medical practitioner, and she has made some radio shows on how it is modern man that is becoming more robot-like in itself. So it's like there's nearly no need for a robot if we are acting as robots.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Well, Scott Adams of Dilbert calls us moist robots. That's what he calls us. And you got to think a little bit when you read that. But yeah, he's absolutely right. He said we're moist robots. We're irrational 95% of the time. All our decisions are made with no evidence and not the least bit of sensibility. And therefore, because we're so irrational, we're easier to manipulate because we don't think anything through. And he's talking about just everyday living and decision making is just made with irrational thoughts. Amazing. I think he's totally right. Even voting, he said, is completely irrational.
But it's schooled out of us, you see. So even being here on Fecologist, we can probably, most of us can probably, we'll probably have experience with how difficult it is to hold an opposing idea to the general ideas, you know. So it's,
yeah. Oh, I agree. That's what we call swimming up river or going against the trend.
But to keep an open mind seems very difficult, and we are kind of programmed not to go outside certain borders. And even amongst us, we sometimes react badly when somebody is presenting new research in fields they probably don't want to look at.
Yeah, and you're referring to the transgender transgender bender agenda that you're doing the research. Just quickly before I move, we discuss your favorite topic at the moment. I'm just listening to Clandestime, which is a podcast with Tom Secker, who's a British-sounding, very smug, kind of smarmy individual who sneers at a lot of the research that we do on Fakeologist and other websites. He's a sneering individual. He's got a perfect British sneer. But he was just discussing how there's no real good evidence connecting drills to what he calls false flag operations like 9/11. And I'm just listening to his latest podcast. I'll post it shortly just because it's worth listening to, in my opinion. Because his main thing that he's pushing is these are false flag operations, which means the government of the respective country is actually doing these events for real. So if there's a bomb, they're really blowing it up. If they're killing people or people die, then the government is killing people. And I don't think anyone on Fakeologist or myself anyway believes that people die in the way we are told, if at all. And I think they don't. So I don't call them false flag operations. I call them psychological operations or military media hoaxes. That's sort of what I call them. What he's doing is he is busting the link between drills and the operations. He's saying that the actual drills, as they are described by the media or the official story, there's no way they can be linked to explaining why or how these hoaxes are created in the official story. In other words, you said that although most of these drills do occur on the day of the event, the hoax, there's no way you can link the two together in the sense that he said in the Boston bombing, for instance, there was a drill at the starting line at the athlete villages, but the event happened 26 miles away at the finish line. He said, how would they possibly do the operation if they were so far away? And he goes on to show that there were three or four drills on 9/11, and he said that he see no evidence that could link the drill to the actual perpetration of the event itself. So I thought he's just really muddying the waters of an already muddied explanation, and he's basically just attacking truthers for grabbing a hold of just the idea that there was a drill and making it fit into explaining how the false flag operation, the real event, occurred, which of course we don't believe occurred. So he's another level of disinformation in the way he describes things. He's taking I would call it disinformation topic, which is the drills going on in some way, and making it even worse. And that is the purpose of misinformation or disinformation. It's not to convince, it's to confuse. And if people are confused, they just avoid it.
I think it's even simpler than that. I think that the humans in general are the main resource for the elites. And they want to control us by fear. And how do you control us by fear without limiting your stock of humans? You make fake operations, make them believe the elite wants to kill us. But actually, they regard us as their main resource. We work for them. We produce whatever they want. I think that's the idea. Maybe also in the immigration policies, like they stage most of the war in the Middle East, and they just take the people and export them from there into regions where there's not enough stock of humans.
Yeah, so you're saying it's an inventory adjustment.
Exactly.
Yeah, we are the resource. You're right. And they're not going to kill us because they need us until we're replaced by robots. And it is a real thing that robots are replacing human beings in the workforce.
Why would you like to have a robot when we act as robots already? It's like we are the robots to the elite already. They just want to perfect us and to make us listen to all their directives. They make us be afraid. And they do so by pretending to want to kill us all. And that's the main message of most of the alternative media. And that's because they are paid by the same elites to give us that message, because they have calculated that when the internet arrives, they are going to transmute their regular media into the YouTube channels and control us from there. I think it's that simple.
Yes, the elites or the super class. Someone described it as the super class. I kind of like that description too.
It's a good one.
Yeah. The super wealthy. We're talking the quadrillionaires. We're talking numbers that most people don't know the prefix to because they didn't take Latin and learn how to count up to 10 or 11.
That's Latin. Zeros so after the numbers on your paycheck.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, I still like listening to anyone talking about what we talk about, even if they're totally not agreeing with me.
It's important to understand the scope of the whole media, and as much as we listen to mainstream to have the general idea of what is going down. I think contrived alternative media is also a necessary evil that we have to live with. And unfortunately, the more I research, the more I see that most of the frontmen in alternative media, they are working for the elite, propagating the fear of elimination and et cetera.
Yeah, I don't listen to them anyway, for the most part. I don't really buy into it, so I don't listen to it. It's too negative anyhow.
I think Tom Secker is part of that fraction of controlled opposition and propagation of fear. It's like the Alex Jones, it's real slogan. It's like very true for him, too. It's like he pretend that everybody got eliminated in these terror events. And it's nearly childish, the scenarios in many of these events now, especially as they feel the need to have such large numbers. It's like one truck in France killing over 80, over 70 people with 300 injured. You know, it's like not even in an action film have they realized such a feat. But
The number of injured is over 500. Who said that? Somebody recently said that.
Doesn't make it better.
Yeah, the number keeps going higher. Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, I think maybe the reason I like Tom Secker, people like to listen to stuff they hate. They like controversy, and I'm probably no different than anyone else. Tom is so condescending to truthers. He just takes direct aim at people like you and me that he just sneers at us every word. It's just amazing how nasty he can be. But maybe that's why I like to listen, because he's just so inciting.
Yeah, I remember listening to some of his audios when he was discussing the London 7/7 bombings.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one drill that was going on that was exactly. But he describes the actual drill. That's one thing he does do. And one thing I wanted to point out that in his last podcast that I'll post is that he said there was a private company run by someone named Peter Power. PP,
nice name.
Probably a fictitious individual who was running a private corporate drill that simulated almost the exact same thing. And then, and I'm glad you're on the call because you're from Paris, he pointed out that Paris Bataclan attack, there was a drill at the hospital, local area hospital in Paris, a big hospital, and that was run by another individual with the initials PP, Pierre something. And I thought, wow, because he just showed those two parallels, I thought, does anyone think that's a coincidence as well? That there's two people running drills right beside on the day of the event, and their initials are PP. And it sounded like the French guy had a name that had the word, or similar to the word power in it as well. And anyway, it's just interesting. It's interesting he brings up all these coincidences, but dismisses them as ridiculous parts of the story.
Yeah, it's kind of it's kind of pre-programming somehow for alternative media, I'd say. It's like he... Yeah, talks about them and kind of dismisses them, so we won't suspect them later. So we can like live with the fact that everybody died and it was a drill at the same day, at the same place, with the same things going down, and that's just normal.
Yeah.
It's well, not, he's a of course.
No, it's a drill is how you get the actual people that are on the ground securing the scene there with a plausible excuse. That's how you do it. So if you went into Lower Manhattan that day on 9/11, you wouldn't get there because there would have been a drill going on and all access would be cut off to the area. And that would be enough for anyone on the ground to be convinced that of why they couldn't go there. Obviously, a drill is an easy way to keep people out.
The drill is just a general repetition for the live drill they play out later, that it's going to be used for all the imagery and the interviews, etc. But it's the same crowd. It's the same group of people. They're just training. It's a general repetition. It's just training. It's not another crowd that comes in the same day and does the same things. It's the same people that are doing the same thing but two times, so they do it really well.
Yeah, but I will go one step further, and I'll always say that all the imagery and the storylines, they're definitely created beforehand. There's no way they leave that to chance.
Yeah.
So the stories, the images, they're definitely created in a studio green screen far in advance because of how you have to control the situation and the scenery. I watched the show Westworld last night. It's one of the first times I've sat down and watched a television show in a long time.
On the computer or on the television?
No. I got it through the old torrent method. Still works. Pirate's Bay is back up. Back up under control by the intelligence agencies, no doubt.
As it always was.
Keeping track of who's downloading what and how to scuttle it and controlling the technology so nobody else comes up with a faster, more efficient way of distributing media. But anyhow, I was watching some of the scene, and I was watching how many cuts there were in the scene. Because as we know, you cannot easily film a long scene, even a one-minute scene, without making mistakes. People sneeze, humans are human, so they make mistakes. There's just a million reasons why it's hard to film a continuous scene or record. We don't use film anymore, record. And just one simple scene, I counted about four or five cuts. Very hard to detect unless you're looking for them. Slight lighting differences, slightly different positioning. Usually they change the camera angle to, there's all kinds of ways to mask the cut, disguise the cut. Point is, to film a 1 minute scene, it could take hours. So if we're creating psychological operations, I think a lot of these live, so-called live shots are definitely done ahead of time in the studio because it's the only way to control the situation, make sure everything comes out perfectly, and therefore they would not do it on the scene at the time.
Yeah, I agree. I was more talking about the news media that comes to the scene and set up the cameras and film the outside of the places they pretend the footage they already created come from, you know. It's like they create this live event like very on the surface of the action somehow. But as you say, the footage they give us is well prepared a long time in advance. It's like, as you say, it's difficult to create these films that has this effect, and they probably use really good directors to do these shots too.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to being on the scene on the day that these things occur, I think a lot of the times, yes, a real crew will go there. It will be a fair distance away where they can maybe just zoom in, but they can't be on the scene. And a lot of the times you hear the words, it's like nothing ever happened. And just to explain the fact that there's nothing to film, or there's just a wrecked car or something there that there's just nothing happening. There's no wailing, real families coming to mourn together. There's none of that. And they use the words, it's like nothing ever happened, many times. You'll see that a lot.
That's comical, actually. It's like magic tricks, you know. It's like I was watching the tree cup shell game just to see how easily we are fooled. And it's like, it seems like we are those unknowing spectators to what's happening in the news somehow.
Well, I posted a video about, I think it was about Donald Trump, by a pretty good YouTuber who was showing the David Blaine card trick and how human beings, we can only track one thing at a time. And we're like animals, if we are animals, I suppose. If we are directed to look in one way, one direction, we really can't see what's going on just right beside it. Our brains just can't see it. And it's... Even if you know how the card trick is done, if you don't pay attention, you're going to miss it every time.
I need to watch that video.
Yeah, I posted it on, I believe, fakeologist.com. I do post a lot of stuff now on morab.fakeologist.com, M-O-R-E-A-B, if people are listening and don't know about that sub-blog. Anything that's not really fakery-related, I'm posting some audios on there as well. If you want to go over there, it's sort of anything that I can't tie into numerology or fakery or fake news, I put over there.
It would be great to have the opinion of a magician on this kind of events, how they would have done it and what effects they think they would be using.
Yeah, well,
probably
we'll
too busy
one.
Creating the next psychological operations.
Well, I get there's a guy named Jay Sankey who's in Toronto, and he is constantly posting YouTubes about how different tricks are done. He says he sells his tricks to the big guys. I don't use. I go hot and cold on magic tricks. I'm not always very interested, but I haven't watched any of his videos lately. But I get the notices that he's posting all the time. You might want to go over there. He explains all his tricks and how they're done. He's the one that did that little illusion with the CN Tower disappearing in Toronto.
Right. I saw that.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Obviously, if you just walked around the building, you would see it's still there, but still pretty well done.
And talking about magic and the super elite, it is kind of interesting that one of the first really big magic tricks was the beheadings, fake beheadings. And when we think about the revolution, I've earlier posted on that too, that I do suspect that they didn't kill all the royal individuals in those events, because it's such a basic magic trick and such a good opportunity for the elites to pull our legs, you know?
Yeah, and that hasn't changed. They probably aren't killing the heads of state like Kennedy, or they never really wanted to try and really kill Castro, the guy that we are told just died in Cuba. It was just...
For instance, Marie Antoinette in the French Revolution in 1789, they shaved her head before they like decapitated her, so who would recognize her on that stage that day? It's like not anybody.
Oh, good point. Yeah, that's right. You're saying they in reality they could have killed just anybody,
or just pulled the trick because the stage they use for decapitating is the same stage as magicians use, more or less. And they invented a new machine for these decapitations, so they obviously had researched this beforehand. It was not something that was happenstance, that the guillotine was invented for the French Revolution. It was planned.
Right. And I guess there's also a trap door, which is a magician's tool.
Exactly.
Yeah, that could be part of the trick, right? The trap door? They just
disappear?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. I think they take pleasure in staging their tricks and also in performing them. It might be some kind of internal proofing to escalate the ladders of the secret organization somehow, to have actually been a major participant in these kind of events. Maybe that's why we see so many witnesses be so cheerful, because they know they're advancing in their internal structure.
Interesting. Well, why don't we talk about this this latest transgender research you're doing? And it was funny because I read the paper for about 10 minutes a day in my local area, Toronto, and somebody had just posted in your transgender thread on thegologist.com /forums. But yeah, that was the other day. Someone posted something about I can't remember who it was. It was a picture of a female that he thought was transgender, male to female. And then I saw in the newspaper the pictures of allegedly a husband and wife doctor, where the guy in Toronto allegedly killed his wife and put her in a suitcase. And the pictures looked so similar, I was stunned. And of course, that probably was a coincidence, maybe. But I can't remember now, without looking at the forum, what the original picture of who it was that they were showing. You remember? It was in your thread, of course.
Okay, so yeah, it was the name was Elana Frick
Shamji.
And I kind of misunderstood, because I went to look up the news story and I saw the pictures of that couple, and I tried to post the pictures I saw, and how she actually looks quite big for a female, but the naming in the story and the fact that it was pretended to have happened at the 3:30 moment, as you mentioned in your
post,
was kind of strange that they should have the same numbers.
I wasn't looking at it from really a transgender angle. When I posted originally, I just posted the numbers, and that was the big scare story of the day here in Toronto. But what was the original picture before that? That was in that thread. There was a woman that somebody put the picture up of. Who was that? Because I just thought the pictures looked so similar, and that was someone explaining
I thought. As you, that it was the same woman. At least they look very, very similar on those photos. So it might be just. Anyhow, it was very few photos of both Mohammed, the husband, and Elana, the wife. So it's like I think the shot you talk about, the mobile phone shot, came up with the Elana Shamji name attached to it, but maybe it wasn't the same person in reality. But in reality, maybe nothing of this ever happened.
Well, yeah, I think you're. I don't even know if these are real people. They look. They could easily be simulated images that were created in Photoshop, or just for real pictures of real people from some faraway place that were just altered or smudged or softened and altered in some way just to make them not quite recognizable from wherever the original country was. Now, what was the original post, though, who was the person referring to? This is what I'm... Can we go to that original post on Fakeologist and just look at the picture that someone posted for some other reason ahead of that? Can you go to that?
Yeah, so you are now talking about the forum thread on EGI, Elite Gender Inversion, right?
Oh, I am talking about that.
So it's on the second page, and now I'm going to the photo, and it's entitled Elana and Mohammed. So it's obviously the Elana Shamji person that is...
There's a picture before that, isn't there? Or am I getting confused?
There are three links in your post.
Before my post, someone else made a post. Was it RGOS?
It was Kalaren.
Oh, Kalaren, yeah. What did he post about?
About Lady Colin Campbell that has written books on Lady Diana, and that also herself was a man had gender surgery in her when she was 21.
That was the picture that I thought looked like.
Those two look alike. I understand.
I saw that picture, and then I saw the story in our local.
Okay, I understand.
And I thought, oh my goodness, they look so similar. What a huge coincidence.
Yeah.
That's all.
They do look similar. You're right. They do look similar. And the woman portrayed in the recent events, she do look manly, and that's why she would have resemblances to the Lady Colin Campbell figure that's very famous in Britain. She had that TV show and was married to royalty in England.
Yeah. That was a very loose link for me, and I wasn't saying that this person in Toronto, if it's not a real person, was a man necessarily. I was more just amazed by the shocking similarities, but I'm not willing to do a face chop or anything because I think they're simulated. This person's simulated in the sense that it's just a Photoshop creation. I don't think these are real people.
And the naming scheme is very devious. It's like Lana and Elana are obviously names that backwards spell very poorly, and they are very often used.
Yeah, you pointed that out quite well. That was interesting.
Even Shamji is a very strange name, so I'm unsure to tell us that the story is a sham, if they are shamming us, sham you.
Yeah, scamming, it's a sham, yeah. Yeah, you don't hear these words used much anymore, but yeah, the word sham, most people know what it means. Sham, it's a scam, it's false, it's a hoax. I don't think these stories have any global interest for the most part. Nobody's really that interested in them. I'm not even interested in them other than they're presented to me as real every day in our media. If you read the paper every day.
they always have to produce a certain amount of news stories, and it's like this is just part of that production line, you know. It's like you have these individuals, they have like three or four images all in all, and they figure in these horrible stories where they, as you say, kill each other and put the parts in suitcases. It's like quite scary if you believe it.
Yeah, they have to create news. And it's funny, I just watched, have you ever watched The Twilight Zone, an old 50s television show?
Not much. I just remember the music. It was very scary, like Hitchcock-like music, but I never really watched the program. It's kind of old, I think.
It is. It's a black and white thing. You can watch it on YouTube. Some guy figured out how to post it on YouTube in a way that YouTube won't take it down, although you can just get it on a torrent. The best way, but if you're trying to find a specific episode, it's easier to find on YouTube. But it's further to what you just said. I was listening to a new podcast called Deep Thoughts. I posted it. I don't know who this guy is. I think it's, he calls himself the Dude, but I don't know who he is. He doesn't put his name in his website.
But he's got a gender specific name, so
yeah. I don't know who he is. Maybe you can do some research. But he was doing, he did a review on his favorite Twilight Zone episodes, as well as I posted an audio he did on questioning nuclear bombs, which I thought was went halfway as far as we would go in terms of discussing fakery around nuclear bombs. But it's still worth listening to. He's a very good podcaster. He doesn't have ums and ahs like I do. But he was discussing his favorite Twilight Zone episodes, and so I started, I wrote them all down, and now I'm trying to watch them, because Twilight Zone is a very thoughtful television series done by Rod Serling. And we're told that Rod had to make his the shows a little surreptitiously, a little cleverly, so that the sponsors and the bosses in the media wouldn't censor them.
Yeah, right.
I'm not sure if that's true. Yeah, exactly. I don't necessarily buy into that, but they're very good psychological, for the most part, dramas, where they're really playing with your mind. And, of course, that's what the elites do all day long. That's what the intelligence agencies are there for, right? They're here to mess with your mind. And there was one, I just watched the first one he recommended, called The Devil's Printer. It was a story about a newspaper that was failing in a city because another newspaper came in and took all the readers. So the guy, the publisher, hired a new printer or typesetter to help him. And the typesetter could allegedly see into the future. So he published stories before they, basically he was publishing stories before the event actually happened.
Now,
it has a lot of parallels to media fakery in the sense that he was faking the news. But in this case, he was able to predict the future. When the publisher said, where'd you get this story? And when he checked the story and found out it never even happened at the time of the print, at the time of the typesetting, because of course there's quite a delay in the old days between typesetting a paper and printing it and getting it out. Quite a delay, not like today. So he confronted the guy. Pardon me?
It makes me think of Nostradamus, our dame, like.
Predicting the future.
Yeah, but also having that dame in the word, you know.
Mm. But the story goes that the publisher was doing great business. He was back on top. He's paying his bills because everyone was buying the paper because these stories were coming out a little ahead of time. In other words, he was creating the news, essentially. But, of course, he created the news, and in real life, he made it happen because I guess he was the devil.
The subject of the film with Jake Gyllenhaal, where he's a reporter. And he starts to film accidents, and he ends up nearly creating them himself, as I remember.
Oh, is also, that right?
Yep.
What's that called?
I think it's called a Reporter, or at least it's on reporting. And it also, something that predates this kind type of action is the Graham Greene novel, Our Man in Havana, where he creates the different stories to be able to advance in the intelligence community. just invents fictitious actions.
All right. Well, that's pretty similar to what this is. And of course, this was done in the 50s. But anyway, the publisher, I won't give it away really, but the publisher looks at a story and he doesn't like what's going to happen in the story. So he tries to fire the guy and say, listen, thanks a lot, but you better get out of here. You're screwed. You too many things that you're printing. I don't like, because it was starting to affect him personally. Anyway, it's not media fakery, but it is media fakery, and it's just interesting.
Might want to. Did you link that list of episodes that you refer to? Because it sounds really interesting to look back at what they did before.
No, not yet. I will link it now that you mention it. I create a playlist on YouTube. It's about 20 Twilight Zones that just sound interesting. I just like that kind of stuff. I like psychological stuff, of course. That's the whole point of the blog, the fakeologist. I'm just interested in how people are manipulated and how easy it is. And, of course, this all goes back to 9/11 for me. I just had no idea it would be so easy to convince an entire population of a fake event. It's just amazing to me.
And the film I mentioned, it's called Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal, was made in 2014.
Okay. Well, as you know, there are no original ideas, so I'm sure it's just a rip-off of The Twilight Zone or something before. And The Twilight Zone, most of them were just based on books. He just wrote the screenplay and turned them into television shows, because television was pretty new in the late 50s for most people. So I'll have to look up Nightcrawler.
It's a very graphic movie, as I remember it, but I think it's decent performances in that film. Jake Gyllenhaal is probably a better actor, I guess.
You're saying there's a lot of blood and guts because he's filming or creating crash scenes?
There is some graphic scenes in the movie, but he's playing a reporter or want-to-be reporter that tries to climb up the hierarchy in news reporting.
So really, you're saying the movie's about media fakery. He's creating the events and portraying them as real.
Yeah.
He stages the collisions.
There is of that. I'm not a long time since I saw it, so it's like I just remember that it kind of had the same angle to foreshadowing as you talked about with the Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah. Well, I'll link the playlist. I will link the playlist of these. I haven't watched them all. I did watch most of the Twilight Zone a long time ago, and luckily I forgot everything I watched. I can watch it again now. It's been long enough. My memory has been cleaned. My SD card's been rewritten, so I'll probably watch them again and not remember. But I'll link to them in this audio chat. I create a playlist.
Yeah, that's terrible how we can watch all these films and just lock them in our subconscious and not consciously remember anymore.
Well, the Twilight Zone episodes are only 22 minutes, so they're easy to forget. That's the standard half-hour television show. It's only about 20, 22 minutes.
I'd say 22.
Yeah, well, it actually is 22. I'm pretty sure. Actually, I think this was 29, but anyway, I know what you're saying. We're trying to make links to numerology and multiples of 11, and just saying dude created a comment on my bad things happen at 3:30, which is 33 in it, saying that the manager of the Indians, Cleveland Indians, at 3:30 in the morning went out and bought $44 worth of ice cream. I mean, what kind of... That story is so stupid. Do people believe it? I guess so. The story is stupid. It has the numbers, the numerology in it that indicates fakery.
It sells ice cream.
At 3:30 in the morning. You know, junk food is pretty cheap in America. I don't think you could eat $44 of ice cream. That would be probably 10 liters of ice cream. So I don't think it's physically possible. Of course, the story is complete nonsense. But if you
just probably bought organic, Ab.
Yeah, organic ice cream. Yeah. But getting back to the transgender thread that that you posted on, I was thinking about how you're really illustrating that the elites are the ones that are super class, are the ones that like fooling us by presenting, putting these people ahead of us that are at least, they're asexual or they're transsexual or they're androgynous creatures. And basically, they're not us. They're not the normal people in whatever way. And it made me think that of David Icke, because David Icke is a character that's in the truth community that mixes what we think is right with nonsense. And his main claim to his fame is the reptilian, saying that the people on the top are reptiles, which of course is Looney Tunes, La La Land, that shit crazy. Not ruled by reptiles, but maybe that's his way of describing this transgender, this transhuman, this androgynous class, or these very altered people on the top that are put before us in plain sight, and we don't even know what we're looking at. Maybe that's what he's trying to obscure. What do you think?
I think that most leaders in alternative media are actually in cahoots with the elite themselves. So David Icke, I would think that he has an agenda that's state-supported. But regardless of his affiliations, I do think that it's a way to deflect the interest that we might have on the nature of the elites.
You think Jungle Surfer is in the same category, where he's sort of rude about it when he describes these odd-looking creatures in front of us?
Unfortunately, I'm inclined to believe so. Either he's doing some poor research, or he's doing it knowingly. Everybody can read maybe in the forum post that brought up the example of David Furnish being Lady Diana, and that's kind of La La Land too. And I just don't think it's very constructive to leap on such far-fetching theories. I think I demonstrated quite clearly how Diana is not David Furnish, and that even looking at their height kind of tells us that's not possible.
Yeah, so you think that's La La Land. So he is speaking somewhat effectively when it comes to, for instance, Melania Trump or Michelle Obama. There's something there that he's right about. But when he mixes it in with some of the other nonsense, he discredits the whole argument.
And I'm also very skeptical about all these YouTubers that create internal feuds and fights. I think that's deliberate misdirection. And when I hear Jungle Surfer in each video now kind of has his take on Russian vids, or he praises Dave Johnson or something like that, it just means, like, to me that they're agents in the same crew.
Yeah, why bother pointing out other people that are wrong? Why don't you just ignore them?
Exactly.
And I don't think we've ever said, I don't think I've ever said or you've ever said that we know for sure. We're as confused as everyone else, but we're just trying to talk about it calmly, trying to figure it out. But we don't make any pronouncements that this is that and that is this. I don't, anyway. I'm just,
well, I do state my opinion, what I feel I'm sure of, but as you pointed out, it's like we don't have the, and Argos also pointed out, we don't have the ability to put these people on a stool and check what's underneath their skirt or pants. So it's like we can't really know, but can be fairly certain of some of these. And as I said initially when we started talking about the subject, it's like I just was struck by how Melania Trump comes out as a man to me, and that's like, it's in my guts. It's like, to me, it's just no way she's a woman. She was born a man to me. That's my personal opinion. And I think it's a lot of imagery to support that, but of course as Chris Kendall says, I wasn't there. I can't be 1,000% sure. And but I'm personally convinced of that being a fact, that she is not what she pretends to be. And it's kind of troublesome because she's in a very important position and she does represent the elite. And that means that the elite do these kind of transgenderizations. And I think the Ross Black's history you run with in 2013 also shows a very high profile person that's mixed up in transgenderism in a big time. So it is out there, and they are also promoting it to our children. So it is a subject that we unfortunately will have to look a bit closer at and understand how come it's been being promoted in such a aggressive fashion, because it is. My girl, she's following transgender YouTubers now, so it's like they are out there.
Does she know they're transgender, or do you know they're transgender, or do they say they're transgender?
Yeah, they say they are transgender. They're open about it.
Oh, it's, God.
Like, I think Cilla Flex, he posted some articles from English newspapers, how they, in UK, they want to let children choose their sexual preference when they're like only 8-10 years old. Like, yeah. Grotesque to me. It's
anti-human.
Yes, it's a horror show somehow. It's like I don't suffer from it so much because I don't read the mass media so much. But it's like if this is published in the main UK newspaper, I think it's really, really aggressive and very devious.
Well, they brought a trans assembly to my children's school. They pulled them out of English class to go watch this nonsense, and I complain, mainly because they didn't give me a heads up, but they don't think they have to. They think they can just, yeah.
That reminds me of how I, as a school, when I was at school, they dragged in Holocaust survivors to have us sit and weep when we were only like 10, 11 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably read like 5 or 6 books on the topic afterwards to understand better the horrors of the concentration camps. And it's like, before it was more, based on violence, and now it's really based on sexuality. It's like to have children that young think about sexual activity is not sound in itself. It's like you're not supposed to be engaging in those thoughts until you through with puberty somehow.
Well, yeah, and they know that parents aren't exactly talking about sexual topics for the most part with their children anyway, so they catch the children before they really probably been briefed, and I think the parents' view is more important than the culture's view, unless it's already been corrupted in the parents. But overall, I disagree with that kind of discussion.
Is homeschooling allowed in Canada?
Well, I'm sure it is. Most people aren't able to do it. I didn't do it because
I understand, but it just shows a tendency to have parents more and more leave their kids in the system to be educated and let the system take care of the education and upbringing of the children. And the system is very much now focused on introducing the transgender theme all over the place.
Yeah. Well, they bring it in as a tolerance issue where we don't, they're saying we don't want you to accept it necessarily, but we want you to tolerate it, you see. But really they're taking liberties with the idea of tolerance and pushing acceptance. And,
to me, transgenderism is like Monsanto sex. It's like, it's completely fabricated and it's not natural. And I don't think it's a good thing at all to try to present it as such.
Yes, I agree. But yeah, homeschooling is allowed here, like everything else. I don't know the mechanics of it. They don't exactly advertise. But I believe our youngest member of our provincial legislature was homeschooled. He just got into the legislature. He's only 19. He got voted in. He comes from a rural area of the province, and they did make a deal about how he's homeschooled. And the first issue that he stepped into within a day is that he's being accused of being a homophobe, mainly because he comes from a Christian upbringing and he got Christian, fundamentalist Christian homeschooling. So they're already trying to target him and make him basically back off all his views that might be the majority views of the population. Certainly, they're probably the views of his constituents, but they're trying to bully him into backing down on any of his teachings that he was taught. And I'm afraid that he's just too young to be equipped to speak up against the system, because the system will grind him to a pulp.
Yeah, it sounds like they are preparing some kind of operation to outlaw homeschooling by making a public sacrifice of this young kid.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, because homeschooling is not a big issue where I live. Nobody thinks that way. We're very, this is a United Nations model city and area. There's no doubt in my mind. They're fully subscribed. I remember when the Pan Am Games came here, and they started rearranging all the highways where I drive every day. And they started rearranging them to make people get out of their cars and whatnot. And that's a big pet peeve of mine, because I make a living on these roads. But I found out who was in charge, and I called the lady. She was a technocrat. She basically travels around the world and rearranges cities wherever the United Nations or these organizations go. And she was telling our local people what to do. She was telling them how to arrange the highways and all that. And I thought, what amazing power this woman has. I said, you're a technocrat. They parachute you in. They pay you. We pay her hundreds of thousands to do this disruption with the presumption that local people don't know what they're doing. So they bring in these technocrats. So I called her out, and she said, yeah, you're right. That's who I am. I talked to her directly. It was fascinating. She said, how'd you get my number? I said, I just called around and figured, who's messing up my drive-in every morning? You are.
That's very clever of you. It's like the 6 degrees of separation story, yeah?
Well, you know, you can call people in positions of power. It is possible. They're not expecting your call. And they are protected by layers of gatekeepers who prevent
you from
getting through.
If you try to call her back, I'm not sure she's going to have the same number.
Yeah. Well, she was hard to find. But actually, the local people were happy to blame her anyway, because she's a foreigner, an alien, if you will. And it was quite interesting. It was an interesting call. There's nothing she said that was wrong, but I thought her whole plan was stupid and disruptive and not necessary. I told her so. So you can speak to power, but they just don't expect it. They're prepared for it, but they don't expect it.
Did she sound like she knew what she was doing, or...?
Oh, yeah, because she said, I've done this in London. She did the London Games when they rearranged the traffic in London, England. So, yeah, I just said that I thought what she was doing was disruptive and screwing everything up and unnecessary. That's all I said, really. But I at the time, I was listening to podcasts about technocracy and how we will be ruled by technocrats. It'll be very centralized. See, that's the whole point of globalization. People don't realize it's once they centralize power, they can rule everybody. Easily. Once they assimilate everyone into the same way of thinking, a one world religion, one world business model, trading model, taxation model, then it's very easy to manage. But it creates a very unresponsive system, and people could rebel against it because their needs are not being met locally. Because, well, we are fundamentally the same as human beings. We are also fundamentally different. And we don't want to be treated the same. We all want to be treated differently. None of us like to be labeled. We all like to think we're unique. And the worst thing I can do is, for instance, stereotype you as a Parisian or as a French. Nothing gets people's backs up when I make judgments on you based on how you are categorized or identified. I say, oh, you're from Paris. You must think this way. Or, you're a Norwegian living in Paris. You must think this way. People get very offended when you start assuming how they think or act.
It's like the only liberty we would have is our conception of ourselves having free thought.
Mm-hmm. Then we're told, or we know, that our thoughts are not our own. Everything we think is given to us.
Fortunately.
Yeah, that's a really... disturbing thought.
Even
we don't have
further,
original thought.
Every word we use to express our thoughts have been crafted by us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. We are just moist robots.
Exactly. So it's like that robot agenda is not probably where they want to take us. They want to use us as they always have as robots and just use the technology to govern us, like to yeah.
But for instance, I call a machine a robot. For instance, a combine, which they use to harvest the food, that's, to me, that's a robot. There's a human running it, but that machine takes the place of 100 men from 100 years ago. To me, that's what I, mechanization, robotization, to me is basically the same thing.
Yeah.
So when I talk about robots, I don't really mean a personal slave that runs around your house and responds to your every whim. That might be coming, but right now, just as the guy from who controls United Technologies, that's a big defense contractor that makes elevators and aircraft engines, was saying, I listened to one of his talks. I don't know. I follow the CFR channel, the Council on Foreign Relations on YouTube. They put a lot of stuff out, and they're explaining what they're doing to you and I. So you may as well listen to it.
Yeah.
Right? You may as well know your enemy if you call them enemies. But he did a talk on robotization, mechanization. He said the job to machine a part that goes in an aircraft engine is done by a machine now. It takes the raw material, and it only takes one guy to control the machine, and the machine does all the work. It takes the raw material and creates a part. It used to take 25 millwrights to do not too long ago. So that's what I talk about, robots and mechanization. That's what's really happening. And it creates a perfect part every time. And it doesn't take a break.
Yeah. They do use a lot of energy, though. So I think humans are pretty good at just taking what the Earth is growing and just using that as energy. So it's like it's more economic, I think, to use humans. They are sustainable in that way. It doesn't need too much energy production.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I think energy is basically free. They just put a price on it to control it. I'm not talking about free energy necessarily that comes out of the air. I think that could be a myth, but I'm not sure. But I think the creation of energy is going to go to zero, or it should be zero now, very low. They've just made it, and they just corrupted it.
For sure, it's like the nuclear plants. They do raise the question if they have some alternate ways to use and to control their grid.
Yeah, there was some story about the French nuclear industry. I can't remember what it was about in the last week. I believe the number is 88% of your power is nuclear.
Yeah, it was 80, so it's probably up to 88 now.
Oh, okay. It was 80? Yeah, I saw 88 somewhere, and I just had to laugh because I don't think you get any power from nuclear at all. So then that leads to the question, where do you get your power from? What is it? Where is it from? I think it's from Germany's coal plants, but
that could well be. At least they have an energy exchange in Europe, so all the different grids, they are connected.
Yeah, so you don't know where it's coming from, really, in reality.
I don't think so. And if they have really efficient ways to transport electricity, that would be even more possible.
Yeah. Getting back to transgender for the third time, fourth time. Yeah, I made that post about Martine Rosebud or Martin Rosebud. And I thought the purpose of that at the time when I posted it was to make one think that, number one, it's ridiculous that one person came up with so-called satellite radio, because we know it's a military invention and it's not satellites. And they just put this ridiculous creature as the spokeshole for the industry to basically turn you off from engaging with them, because it's sort of such a strange, odd character. You're going to focus on what that person actually is as opposed to whatever fake technology they're purported to have invented. That's what I thought the purpose of such a strange individual was in the first place.
It's like you say they script the actors to their scenario, and when it comes to Rothblatt, she married interracially, she did gender reassignment surgery, and she's been with the NASA, she has been she presented the transhuman or the human genetics protocol to the UN. So she's like a big he's doing, I mean, very diverse research, and she's educated as a lawyer.
Yeah, basically, she's all the agenda stories, social engineering stories, tied into one. She's a composite.
And guess what? She made the humanoid robot the bust of his wife.
Yeah, all the things they want to promote, they rolled into one individual.
So it's a lot of scary pictures of that bust being, you know, placed on tables all around. And that really reminds of Westworld, as you say.
Yes. Yeah, Westworld, there was a scene with the creator of Westworld, which is portrayed by Anthony Hopkins, where there's some kind of human that comes out of this milky pool, and there's a machining tool that's crafting this human being out of this pool of, I don't know what it is. All I could think of is white chocolate because I was hungry.
Yeah, because they do 3D print living cells.
They do? I just don't understand that.
They do, and they are heavily promoting 3D printing, and often it's promoted through innovations in space. I think Elon Musk is 3D printing his whole new Mars mission, I would guess. So it's like a kind of link to that. So they're linking something real and futuristic with space. So it's kind of they're optimizing their different agendas. Probably makes it more believable with space. When 3D is printing is a technology you can actually possess yourself, so it's kind of psychologically very a skill to make that connection with a super modern technology that's real and space.
Yeah, I guess what I was watching was a 3D printer. That's what they were trying to portray.
The futuristic one is like this printer was like huge and it did. Use some technology that is not commonly seen in commercial printers, which is like just a flatbed or a liquid that's either like imprinted with a laser or imprinted with nozzles where they melt the plastic onto the plate.
I guess I don't even understand that technology and how it can really work. You say it's real.
Yeah, it's you can buy a very good 3D printer today for like $500. So yeah, and it also can 3D scan objects. I mean, the problem they have with this technology is the fact that we can't use it for much because you need to know a very advanced 3D program to actually create something that's useful. So they're printing like Star Wars figures and all that unusable stuff. And then now, like, try to connect it with space. They are like printing space engines and such things. The weak point of 3D printing is the fact that cannot print metal at very high degrees. So the metal parts are not yet optimized.
Is that affecting your line of work, architecture?
Yeah, they have been building 3D printed houses for some time now. And they're like just very basic concrete printers that's really big. And they do try to use it a bit in furniture too to print different parts. So it is something that is being used in architecture to.
Is printer the right word for them? Why do they call them printers? Because printing, to me, printing implies ink. Why are they called printers? Because they're not really printers. See, that's why I get confused by it.
Yeah, it's because at the base, it was mechanical arms that was using three axes, and it was put onto a flatbed. So it was kind of like a printing. It was the same engine as the printer, like going from side to side.
Okay.
So it was like a printing engine. So it's like, you are right. It's more like a replicator from, I think, Blade Runner. It's you're right. It should have a different name. Maybe it would be more comprehensible.
Yeah, that's why I don't understand it. Because I have a printer and it prints ink onto a piece of paper. And
then you have the laser printer too, and that's only that's heated onto the paper. So it's like
Right.
Then you are more into the area of 3D printing in the sense that if that dust is a liquid, you have a 3D liquid printer, which they use today. They have this liquid that they can crystallize with laser beams.
Okay, yeah, a laser printer, yeah. It creates electrostatic charge on the drum. The drum rotates. It collects the toner powder, and then it's heated or melted onto a piece of paper. That's how a laser printer
and
works.
And the resin,
right?
3D printers, they work the same, only it's in 3D. So you have, like, instead of powder, you have, like, this huge bucket of resin, and the laser then solidifies the resin through that electric procedure. The same, I think.
Okay. Interesting.
That's what you see in Westfold, and it's like it's futuristic. But at the same time, we do print 3D living cells today. So it's kind of
What are we printing living cells? What material is it being printed out of or created from?
Living cells, I think it's like they cultivate cells in the laboratory, and they have like a bucket of living cells that they have cultivated, and they just use the same 3D printer and put in the cells through the printing nozzles onto a plate. So it's like a structure that is made of cells. It's probably pretty soft, I guess, when they make these prints. But they can print veins, they can print some organs, but I'm not sure how well it can graft onto humans yet. But it is quite advanced.
How do you make the raw material for the cell?
Well, I think they just like bacteria and stuff. It's like if you take human cells, they will replicate if they have the right temperature and the right nutrients besides them.
Oh, interesting. That's the ultimate in transhumanism material, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is.
Well, let's talk a little more transgender. Do you think that Bruce Jenner was brought out to look almost just like a transvestite just to mask the better, higher-end transgender that are among us?
Not sure. It's a big agenda to have our children being gender confused. And I think he's more a figurehead for what they are trying to do to our children. He's starring in a popular TV show that young people watch, like a poster boy or girl for all these choices they want our children to make at a very young age. And by that fact, undergo very expensive and invasive medical procedures that are quite horrible, actually. Like, I have unfortunately looked into it represents for women or for women to become males and for males to become women also on the sexually. So it's like what they replace and what they create as a sex afterwards is quite dysfunctional and it's quite imperfect. So it's like it's quite
crude, very
a disaster.
Crude. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, crude. Yeah.
So a woman that becomes a man, she will have grafted a penis that can only be erect with mechanical intervention afterwards. Like it's some mechanics in there that will make it erect and stuff. So it's like really the opposite end of what we naturally would, you know, connect with pleasure. It's mechanical and unhuman.
Yeah. So do you think the whole agenda is just anti-human? Is that just to dehumanize people and make them come away from their natural instincts? Is that the whole purpose of this?
They're targeting
children?
Still searching for answers on these questions. It's very hard to say. At least they are into inversion. So it does look like they invert themselves very often, and they invert their children. And at this point, when you look back in history, it looks very probable that they were not able to invert people as early as now. So if a child is conceived as a boy in the womb, if they invert the fetus, I don't know what the results are. The results are the stars we see in Hollywood today, or what it is. I don't know what genitalia they have, or what their obsession on that field is. But what is for sure is, like, we see a lot of inverted gender aspects of these stars. It's like they have all the wrong signs in terms of facial structure, bone structure, etc. But still, they are understood as being alpha males and females to us regular people. So what they have us do is probably the opposite of what they do themselves. So I would really doubt that they undergo all these procedures that are so invasive to themselves. So I do think it is a deception that's being played on us here too.
Hmm. Well, I look at Melania Trump. She is one of the most disturbing looking women, and this is no slight on whatever heritage she's allegedly come from, but I don't think anyone can look at her or the images they present of her and think that that is a normal look from wherever she's originally from. Everything looks off about it, and the MTF explanation to me is as good as any. There's something going on.
I definitely recognize all the signs of a male to female transition in her, and she also kind of have been depicted where you kind of can imagine that she might represent both sexes at the same time somehow, with a female bust and male underparts.
And again, the point is just to say that these people are above us, and they can do whatever they want, and they do things that we don't even notice. Is that the point of it?
It's difficult to pinpoint their philosophy behind all this. The only thing you can say is the fact that this is not a recent practice. And when you look back in history, I think the example I provided with the X-ray of Nikola Tesla's hand pretty well proves that he was not a man. And when you look at the pictures, you can pretty much see he has all the signs of a woman in his facial structure, and he looks like he's putting on fake mustaches and a toupee. So this is not something that's being done only recently. It's something that has been done far back in time. And the methods they had then was much more primitive. And when you look at ancient pictures, you can much more clearly see that there are very prominent cases of this kind of transgenderization that we can suspect. Like, hard to prove, these people are no longer with us, but from the imagery, it does look like this type of inversion has been taking place in the elite for a long time.
What are your thoughts on Tesla, just stepping away from the transgender idea? Do you think he really had all kinds of inventions and he was this genius type?
As I said, I think that when they when a person born one gender and act like the opposite gender, they probably develop their whole brain in a very specific way. So I don't doubt that these people are very intelligent and have very great minds. So, but when it comes to technology, I do not think that the elite wants to release something they do not master and they do not control and have an agenda for. So I don't think Tesla was of the right generation to have invented the inventions he came with. He might have been behind inventions we have today, like the computer chip or something like that, but I do think they really knew what they were doing with the radio waves, etc., before he came to the scene.
Right. And that would have been a military application that was developed. He was just the front man for, because they don't want people to know that the military is taking all the money to do all the research, to do basically everything to control us.
Exactly. And he was, like, prominent in the newspaper. He was, like, kind of a showman, too. It's like he was, like, very famous for being very, you know, outspoken and very good, probably, in presentations. And
so he was sort of an Elon Musk of his day.
Exactly. And he,
but these are just front men, yeah.
Yeah, and he was definitely a she, in my opinion. Everybody should make up their own mind, of course. But there is a lot of signs that he is not who he pretended to be.
Yeah, Tom Delpra, who is a prominent fakeologist, or at least he participated lots. Tom, come on these audio chats sometime. He said that the hand is just no evidence. He dismisses it, well, to coin a funny phrase, out of hand. And he pointed to his own girlfriend saying her fingers don't line up the way you say they should if she was really a female.
Yeah, but this is not something I say or invent. This is like scientifically proven to a very specific degree how exact the digit ratio is. And it's at the same level of exactitude as a single digit fingerprint. So he used these scientific proofs in court. So it's like to say this is not any kind of proof is falsehood. I do not agree with Tom Delpra in that, and I do not think he's very honest when he dismisses what I have tried to do, which is to present honest research and looking into things that many don't.
Mm-hmm. Have you been able to find any other resources on the web about this discussion that are serious and calm about?
Mostly the different resources, they are very focused on the entertainment industry. And what I try to show is that it's also present in other areas. And I think the example of Judy Wood is a prominent one because it touches directly our area, which is alternative research.
I just thought she was a super odd woman, very odd. But maybe I'm detecting something even more sinister.
Yeah, unfortunately, when we look anew at her pictures, it's very clear that she has no feminine features at all.
Yeah, I know. But don't a lot of women, as they get older, and I don't know how old she's supposed to be, don't the sexes sort of merge again? You know how old women tend to look like men just because everything just starts to fall down and fall off and slide around the body?
Yeah, in some ways, we do look more similar when we come of age. But the fact is, like, you don't grow bro bone becoming older, and you don't grow noses longer either. So it's like everything is wrong with Judy Wood being presented as a woman. Has never been very feminine. And the fact is that when she came onto the scene, there was mostly only one or two pictures that were circulating of her. And then when you hear her speak in audio form, you construct a mental image of her as a woman.
Yeah.
So when you know about how they can operate on vocal cords and make a male voice feminine, it's like she has a very regular feminine voice. So I never suspected that entity at all for being anything else than a woman, because I've heard her so much on audios before I started to see her in presentations that the decision of her gender was already made. And I even didn't think of investigating any person's gender. It's like it didn't seem relevant to anything she has to say. And that's the curious part, is the fact that if Judy Wood had been Jude Wood, she would have been just as convincing as she is. So it's like it's not even important for her to be a man or a woman.
Again, why do they put these odd ducks in front of us on the controversial topics that we discuss? Is it because subconsciously we find them distasteful? Because we know there's something off about them, but we don't really recognize it because we're not educated about these things.
It's like the workings of magic somehow. It's like if everything that we are being told and represented is fake, it's like the lie is so big that we are more probable maybe to believe it. So it could be some kind of mechanism that we have to automatically firewall ourselves with you know, it does create a conflict between the conscient and the unconscient, because all these features that I point out in the forum post, we have already seen them all, and somewhere when I looked at this anew, I have seen this before. So it's only my unconscious that actually you know, recorded all those signs, and that was in conflict with my conscience that was not able to see any of these signs clearly.
No, I think that what you just said is a really great explanation for why we're conflicted. But I thought maybe there might be a more basic, sinister concept behind it, and that is they're blackmailing these odd ducks to do their dirty work because...
It's a little bit related to what I said earlier, the fact that the elite regard us as sheeple and that they want to induce fear in us, and that in reality we represent their major commodity on this planet. So they are eager to control us, but they are not that eager to kill us off. And when it comes to pedophilia, think we have a case where it's not the elite's intention to take our children and eat them. It's more like they might relocate them because they do have a very big problem of birthing if they do inverse the genders, because they will not be able to carry children so easily. So it might be that pedophilia is really covering a reassignment agenda of children.
Hmm. That seems confusing. I'm confused just by that whole idea.
It's not something that's very well understood either, how come a gender-inverted elite can produce offspring as a... You see that they often adopt children in the star system. To what degree is difficult to say, and also where the children actually come from.
Yeah, I'm just, isn't biotechnology going to solve all that anyway?
And it might do so, and I think that's one of the questions that transhumanism is posing, is the fact that they might convince us that it'd be better to let the state do the birthing process, and we continue to work. Would be more efficient that way. They could select the different characteristics in the people they produce, and probably reassign them to their job even before they're born.
Yeah, if you're talking about Pizzagate, which is about that distasteful topic, I haven't really been following that one. I can't really make too many comments on it.
I saw it's a big topic in many alternative programs right now, but
it is the
like
topic,
you, I didn't follow it very closely. What have you understood of the general?
Well,
what do you think is going on?
I don't really know. What I'm guessing is that it's all I hear is the name Podesta, and I don't even know who that is. I think he's somehow aligned with the Clinton campaign, and I'd frankly like to forget about those two people forever. But something about Podesta and Jeffrey Epstein creating these junkets to these pedophile islands, and using the pizza metaphor to describe participants and the acts involved as a code. But other than that, I think that it's a completely fabricated story. I don't know what grains of truth there are, but they're tying it into fake news and all the memes that they're trying to push.
Devil worship too, is that in the meme?
Satanism
or devil worship or?
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, it's probably going to be mentioned. Yeah, I think, as I said, that it's a lot of contrivances in the pedophilia stories, and I think it's something that alternative media is just swallowing everything of. And I think as the Jimmy Savile case will prove, it's like he didn't rape 1,000 children as they pretend him to have done.
That's, yeah, I don't know about that story either, because it hasn't come over here. You don't
it
know,
was
I don't
big
know.
In Europe, and it's like...
No, it never made it here. I wouldn't even know what you're talking about.
It's an English DJ and TV host that was very friendly with the royalty, that yeah. After his death was accused and probably convicted of many cases of pedophilia, and as many as 1,000 suspect incidences has been talked about concerning him. And most of these occurrences happened, apparently, in the BBC quarters and at the children's hospitals.
Oh, well, that's pretty disgusting. Yeah, I don't know much about it. But again, there aren't too many pedophilia stories that pop up over here, I've noticed. There was one, usually it's a child pornography story that pops up where someone is in possession of it. And then they just trash the guy's name and he goes away. I only saw one bureaucrat accused of such in my area, but I couldn't even tell you the guy's name.
We have the famous George W. Bush and the Franklin scandal, where this boy like Johnny Gosch was supposed to have been repeatedly at the White House and suggestively abused of by... President, and that's
I don't even know that story. The name Franklin rings a bell, but I don't even know that story, honestly.
Yeah, so that was a big story in the U.S. At least, and I think it's a lot of manipulation involved in that case too. Like, it's no way that the elite are so careless as to be taken for such obvious stories. It's like that's just me. It's like fairy tales.
I agree. Nonsense. They have way too many resources. There, one could use the excuse that it's just arrogance, that they just do it to flaunt their power. But I don't think that happens either. I choose not to believe it.
But I think you choose right, and I think the alternative media is very complacent with that those media manipulations, and I think too few outlets actually question these incidences and just believe straight up what is being delivered as I mean, only the name Gosch, it's like a completely scripted name.
Yeah, it's a pun. The name is
yeah,
part
and didn't
of the
Madonna
joke.
Call all her boyfriends Johnny or something like that? So it's like Johnny Gosch. It's like it's a completely scripted name.
Even the name that's supposed to be with the Pizzagate story.
The Shining, Johnny Come Home from Jack Nicholson. This is a Johnny name again.
Mm-hmm. Well, Johnny, I guess, is a very generic name. At least it
so
used
what,
to be
what,
in America.
What is the name you said you were going to mention with the Pizzagate?
Well, it was a French guy named something Enfantilization or Enfant. I don't know the name, though. I can't remember it right off the top of my head.
But Enfant is child, so it's very fitting.
Yes.
It's very scripted.
Yeah, the name was something to that effect. If you look it up, I don't – something like that. So anyone who knows French would know that they're using the name child in the name. Just again, it's part of the mockery, I think.
Really sound so. They do mix different languages into their naming schemes. And
yeah.
As you pointed to the Samji story, Elana, she has a middle name that is Frick, which means money in French. So it's like in Canada, many people do understand French words. So it's like plausible they use some French allusions in that story, so it's like, I think they do mix a bit in the names, like Rothschilds, meaning Red Shield, and all these.
Maybe a lot of these psyops are created internationally as well. Maybe even the images are international. For instance, if they do create these images, they just take them of real people. Maybe they're over in Western or Eastern Europe, so if they put them over here, no one's going to recognize them because they're not over here. So
yeah,
they're not
like,
creating them. Yeah.
You read an English newspaper, your brain is switched to English, right? So even if you read Rothschild, you don't combine that with being German as you are in front of an English text. So it would like connect your subconscious that actually do know that Roth is read in German.
Hmm. Yeah. So maybe they do the psyops for America and Europe and the ones in Europe in America. Just because they detach them. Maybe there's some legal liabilities they get around by doing so.
Yeah, and maybe they just want to communicate with or unconscious, and they know that most people would be aware of basic words in some foreign languages. They probably come up in films and where people travel.
Well, Europeans are probably far more mobile than Americans.
As you said, it's smaller too.
And more aware. Yeah, you're just more aware of other cultures.
It's a smaller scale. It's like it's less distance to travel to go from one culture to another.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I suppose the monoculture will be imposed on Europe as well.
Yeah, it makes sense when it comes to resources to be able to use one program all over the place and not to have to develop special programs for every individual country.
Yeah. Well, that's the downside of integration. There's lots of upsides that they sell us, but there are downsides, but maybe people just don't want to discuss them or overlook them.
Yeah, and we are not supposed to, because it's not on the agenda for future constitution of the different areas of the world, but they might use it to have a internal stride and opposition. I think the alternative right is a good example of how they are trying to make racial oppositions in the different countries. And Trump, to some degree, represent that United States, I guess.
So, is Trump still a big story in France?
Yeah, it is, because they relate Trump to the far right political party of Le Pen, and he has his daughter that could run for president and do quite well. So it's like it is much talked about in that way.
Isn't it amazing that he dominates French media? See, we don't know anything about France over here, but the American media is so powerful that it dominates your headlines. That seems crazy.
Yeah, it's globalism, I guess. But for sure, it's a more international focus here, and it has to do with the fact that most European countries has to accept the European community, where the international angle is very important.
Yeah, the No Agenda show says that Europe is trying to create their own army?
Yeah, probably. I mean, military is
big business.
Yeah, exactly. But again, it's like we don't know if the numbers they give us from war are correct ones, and if really that many people are killed in each of the wars that play out. We should believe that the elites look at us as a resource. Probably would like to limit the losses, but still keep the media impact of all these.
Are there any local hoax stories in France?
I haven't been reading too much French newspaper the latest time, but
okay.
They produce the same quantity of news here as they do in other countries. So I might should look more closely at that. I think the stories you provide from Canada are very telling of the mechanics of the intelligence operations they do stage very often.
Yeah. Any new audios that you encountered?
Yeah, I've been listening a little bit on alternative French history, like going back to the wars and such. So, yeah, there are alternative media outlets in France, too.
Okay.
We have Dieudonné, which you probably have heard of. He's still very much on the alternative media side an important figure. And you have Alain Soral, who is also fighting Zionism and Jewish agenda he feels is prominent in France.
What would a Jewish agenda look like? What are its features?
Features in France is more or less incarnated by revisionist history and suppression of opposition to anti-Semitism. It's like they have the Gaysol laws here, and they still prosecute researchers that want to look into the Holocaust and stuff. So Robert Faurisson, which was a prominent figure in the field of revisionism, he's still being dragged into the justice system to be judged for anti-Semitic hatred. So it's very much contrived to me. It's like I don't know how much interest and importance the Second World War has really today, but they do continue to go around the topic of anti-Semitism and the laws that they use to prosecute anyone that does anything wrong about what Israel is doing to Palestinians or whatever. Very focused on the Middle East somehow.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's pretty much just thought crime. That's pretty far fetched over here. That's amazing.
And they just released that film on David Irving too. So it's like that's probably very much more European than American. I don't think you would have much interest in David Irvine and his investigations into the Nazi regime, but that's still something that's promoted in Europe. Probably the psyop of the Second World War is still ongoing.
Yeah. What's that movie called? Because I put the trailer on my
I'm not
my
sure.
site.
I'm not sure. His name is David Irving, and he has himself twins. So it's like.
You think these people are really prosecuted, or are they just kangaroo courts, or just show courts, like the OJ trials?
I think the justice system is completely occult. They wear wigs. They do their justice in buildings with Egyptian architecture. I think it's theater. And as you know, the male lawyers, they go to the bar to have their exam. So I think it's a lot of things going on with the justice system.
But in this particular case, I think anti-Semitic trials, do you think they're real court cases, or they're just simulated to scare people?
I think they're simulated. At least Irving's case, I really think is simulated. With Faurisson, I'm more doubtful. I don't know if authentic in his research or not. But mostly, I think the elite is planning its own resistance, and I would not be surprised if even. The major researchers in the field of Holocaust revisionism are actually just more of the same.
Yes, controlled opposition.
Yeah, I mean it's just what we can see from the what we have learned on 9/11 is like they create all the movements after the fact. It's like we took like how many years before we started to be very inquisitive, a lot of years, and the websites of 9/11 Truther movement, they were already registered and up and running when the planes hit or didn't hit, you know.
Yeah, that's very effective. This speaks to what Tom Secker was saying in his last show that I'll post. He said that Operation Gladio, the whole purpose was up; it was above board, and that was to create a resistance movement, a military resistance movement in every country of Europe in case the Russian communist cells activated in each country.
Right.
So they actually admit that, yeah, we created these military organizations, we funded them, we armed them, we organized them, and their sole purpose was just to be ready for the communist infiltration and or revolution that would occur in, that could occur in Europe if the whole Russian experiment took a hold, I suppose.
Right. So then you have to believe that Russia is in opposition with the United States, and that's just not the case.
Yeah, I mean, agreed. Agreed.
I mean, they all are part of the same club. They're actors. They're acting their opposition and their confrontation. I think many have said it's like Putin is probably fluent in English and he still stands up and speaks in Russian with the American president.
Yes.
It's like ridiculous. It's mostly for the Queen.
Yeah, he studied in the London School of Economics. I don't think they teach that in Russian.
Exactly. So it's like, they are lifetime actors, and they are pretty good at what they're doing, because most people have no idea that the elite is to this point contrived, you know, like unfathomable.
And they rebirthed the whole Russian boogeyman movement in the at least in America, where Russia's always doing this and Russia's doing that. It never ends, and now we can. I listen closely to how they phrase it, and they never can verify or point to any real facts that Russia did this and that. But it doesn't matter. It's, as Kissinger said, it's just the perception that counts. The facts don't matter at all.
And the Boston bombing was done by, you know, Russians, and, you know, it's all just, you know, they're just scripting things far in advance.
But it's amazing how Russia was sort of an ally for a couple of years recently, and then it just, the switch just flipped, and now they're doing everything that's negative again to wreck the whole world. It's just crazy how people are so easily believing that. And I bet you that the Russians don't even know. The average Russian probably doesn't even pay attention or get the script that he's now the enemy again. You know, they probably thought, oh, finally we are friendly with America again. They probably don't even know the propaganda we're getting about Russia's hacking this and Russia's hacking that.
It's like France was playing the bad element for a little while in the Middle East, and now it's Russia.
Yeah, Russia's doing everything again.
Yeah, and probably going to be China at some point too. It was North Korea, but they're just too ridicule to even take seriously.
I was trying to think, I was doing some deep thinking about China and how China's taken over the world. But I often think now that I think a lot of these Chinese so-called businessmen, I think they're just puppets as well for the same old elite that just went over there. They moved the factories over there. They partnered with local Chinese companies. But I think it's still good old Anglo-American money that is just zipping around the world and using China as sort of a cover for when they say the Chinese are buying up America. I often wonder if it's the same old money that's just coming back to buy up a destituted America, because they're the ones that drained it, and then they're just buying it back through a Chinese cover. What do you think?
I mean, if you're printing the money, it's never going to be old. It's just as old as the ink you put in your machines, you know. So it's the same group of people that has the control of the money supply, and that's never going to dry out.
China's, again, it's speaking to your idea that China's a boogeyman, but all they've done is taken our jobs, sent them to China, and what they do is they've taken farmers off the land. It was probably a mainly agrarian economy. They put them in the factories to work at 99% off the American labor rate. So it's American money that went over there, and they partner with maybe some local Chinese government or officials, and they probably give them a raw deal where they don't even get a decent cut of the business. And then they call it Chinese money is buying back American assets, because America was basically gutted out and the prices of everything fell in America. So it's the same old American money probably buying it back with this Chinese boogeyman as the cover saying, oh, it's the Chinese. They're awful. They're nasty. They took our jobs. Now they're buying up America again. But I tend to think it's more complicated than that.
I think the end game is like oligopoly or a monopoly. So it's like they're just centralizing and using different handymen to do the business for them. But it's like the elite wouldn't be practically doing these things anyhow. So it's like if it was an American businessman, he would probably be on the payroll for the elite anyhow. So it's like if it's American or Chinese, it doesn't really make the end result any different.
It's always the same old thing. You demonize the foreigner, make it his fault. It's so easy.
And it probably serves the purpose of being able to generate a public support for going abroad and fighting these vicious strangers.
Yeah. That's another Twilight Zone episode that I have to go take a look at. Something about how the enemy is demonized and you're told to go kill someone you don't even know. And the same thing happens on the other side.
Exactly. And when we look back at like 9/11 and all the foreshadowing that was happening and the fact that they built these towers knowing that we're going to go down, it just tends to prove how long they plan things in advance. It's like, it's not happening overnight. They don't, you know, decide on what country is going to be the bad guy from 1 year to another. They plan these things long in advance.
Yes. And you wouldn't plan it unless you ran it.
Exactly.
So somebody runs the place. See, that's another lie or story that's protected by its incredulity. If something is just too hard to believe, people don't believe it. They just think it's just too big. There is nobody running the place. That's the way most people think. Just all organic. In every game, someone has to have all the marbles.
Yeah. Once you have all the marbles and the game keeps going on, no way the other players are going to recuperate all those marbles, you know?
Let's go back to the transgender post again. Do you want to describe some of the things you put up there?
In the post, it's going through different different background information that you might want to familiarize yourself with to be able to comprehend what kind of signs there could be for the elite actually doing inversion on themselves and on the people they put in front of us. And so it's like I have put up a number of links towards videos that show the anatomical differences in how you would represent a man and a woman in drawing. Some videos and a lot of links on a different surgery procedures that is being done today on transgender people. These are suspected to have been done for a long time, and like rhinoplasty, which is nose surgery, is been proven to have been done already in Egypt. So it's like the practices are very old. And I'd guess, like, taking away ribs and stuff like that has been done for a very long time. So you have all the list of the surgical procedures that is being done today that's listed in the post. And you have the bone structure differences also that's quite well described in the graphic arts videos where you can see how artists would draw the face of a man and a woman and how they differentiate. And then you have the also the body that is described, how the face of a man and a woman is actually pretty different in the way it moves and in the way it's positioned, especially then to the stomach area where the woman is conceived to be able to do childbearing. So the nombril is not in the same place, and the hips are not of the same size. The muscles don't really correspond between men and women, and the chest cage is considerably smaller in women. So whenever you can see that a man has been doing hormone therapy and been going training in studios under the effects of a testosterone, they develop considerably muscle, and you can see some famous examples of transgender that has proven that in photo and video, that has built up really muscular bodies from being females. So Aidan Dowling and Lauren Armstrong, I think, are examples that are well known and that will illustrate how much a female body can be transformed to become manly. And it's actually nearly harder the other way to have a man become more female. So that's kind of counterintuitive, how women can be such masculine men. But I guess when a woman can start growing beard, it becomes very hard to even fathom that she can be anything other than a man. So it's like very hard to, for me at least, to spot occurrences of female to male transitions immediately. It's much more a question of analysis than an understanding than of gut when it comes to these occurrences. When it comes to the male to female, it's like you can have these very major signs of large shoulders and big heads and prominent eyebrows and chin and everything. And if they have undergone plastic surgery, their faces look very much similar. It's like they are sculpting this V shape. They are cutting away jawbone. They are trimming down the brow bone. They are making the chin in a V shape. They shorten the noses, change the angle of the noses, and they, glasses is also very good for a male to female transition to make the appearance of having less deep set eyes.
Right. Wow.
The fact is that if you start to think about all the artificial moves you can make, if you want to act and pretend you are the other sex, the there's no limit. It's like they have been thinking about this for a long time, and their tactics are very advanced. It was all the way to hiding their fingers when they're taken in photo. It's like when you try to look at images to check out hands, it's like they're really, really good to hide their fingers and not show their hands in any, you know, straight angle.
Why is that? Is it harder to alter hands, or you just figure why bother because you could just hide them?
Yeah, I think it was harder for a time, but I do think they're able to do that now. It's like they can shorten and lengthen legs, but it's very intrusive. It's like you need to hospitalize for a while doing these this kind of procedures, and it's not.
And this is probably why it has to be done by the elite. Regular people can't afford this stuff.
Yeah,
we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is why it would only be relegated to the top, because who's got the money?
And who's got the ambition? I mean, who in 1895 was thinking about implanting bigger breasts in women?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just not the regular man. It's like that was really far from his preoccupations. It's like,
yeah, he was busy trying to support his family.
Exactly. And who want to redo their nose in ancient Egypt?
Yeah, you're talking about the elites. They got the money and the time.
Exactly.
And they're still around us today. There are elites among us still. And they have the money, the time, the disposition, and they're not busy earning a living.
I think today they are so far advanced that they can create the best looking top model available, and it's no way we can easily detect these entities' gender today. I think the examples we have now is like the ancient generations, and the newer ones, it's going to be probably impossible to really positively prove. And the regular person would at least never be able to see it, because the hormones and advanced plastic surgery, it becomes very borderline. You need to be very focused to on detail to even affect some of these cases.
Well, they're not even promoting the best cases. That's what I thought. My idea
exactly.
With Bruce Jenner is he's a rotten case.
Exactly.
He's obviously a man. They're just putting lipstick on a pig with him. I don't think he's done one procedure. So he's not a good example. So they don't promote the great examples. if we saw great examples that were admitted, we'd probably be blown away.
Like, it keeps people busy to be completely gender confused and spend loads of money on all these expensive procedures. So it's like, it's a win-win situation.
I don't know what doctor would agree to do it. I guess only a, maybe. I just don't understand who would be motivated to do it. It's just...
I can tell you something is I've seen that many of the plastic surgeons that actually do this kind of operations, they are suspect of being transgender themselves without saying so.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Yeah. So the elites are leading the way in the technical area of these procedures too. So
they work on each other?
Well, now they are starting to work on us, aren't they? I mean, transgenderization is for the common man now. So.
Well, when the state starts sponsoring it, that's when people have problems with it.
Who's the state? That's us. It's the same
yeah, that's
thing.
What I mean. Well, yeah. When we have to shell out our hard-earned money so somebody can flip over with, that's... Talk about unnecessary procedures for the average person's mind.
Yeah, and it's like I looked at some of these channels where the real transgenders discuss, and the sad part is like it looks like they go through a lot of pain when they have to live with the results of these practices themselves. It's like sexually, they don't do very well. It's painful. It's humiliating sometimes, and it's a world of hurt, really.
Yeah, and I can't imagine they live long lives because it's probably just too despondent most of the time. Probably very unhealthy.
Yeah, I get kind of sad when I research this. Actually, it's like it's inhuman. It's not in our best interest. And it's a pity that so much effort and resources are poured into these activities.
Yeah, it's a distasteful topic.
It is.
Makes me wonder why are we doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are we looking into it? Definitely the ultimate in fakery.
Yeah, for me, it's the innate interest in understanding what my life is about, and when you understand that everything is not how you are told it to be, you start to look for answers. It's hard to stop, especially as it's always another bigger box behind the box you're in. So it's like a box of gender identity is a very hard one to understand because it's so much we don't know about.
Yeah, there's a lot we don't know. There you are.
Yeah, I was disconnected, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a new topic to me, and I know it's very borderline to ridicule. But I'm trying to be factual about it. I think it's important if the president's wife is not a woman.
Yeah, I agree.
As I said, I do suspect that most of the YouTubers that cover the subject are kind of sensationalists, that they do not do much digging into the reasons why this is. They only have this reverse duper's delight of discovering one case or a suspicious case, but I don't think that's what this is really about. I think it's about understanding why they would practice such inversion. And I think in that sense, for those who follow fakeologists to evaluate whether Judy Wood actually was who she pretend to be or not is kind of important. It's like she's a key figure, and she's obviously controlled opposition, and we need to understand to what degree we are being manipulated.
Yeah, I agree. I don't listen to her anymore. I haven't for years, but...
You bought a book.
I have a book. I do have it.
I got a lot of books from authors that I no longer listen to or take notice of, but it's like it's a long way to go. The members at Fakeologists have come a very long way down the alternative route to end up here.
Yeah, there's not that many of them.
No, and I don't know how they they will influence on search results. But it's not sure that your site is as popular as it could have been if everything was transparent.
That's true. Although when I did a search of the Sirius satellite trans person, I came to my site. I was looking for new pictures, and it brought my site up.
So. But when you know of ghosting, it's like, is that only in your browser, or is
yeah,
it in everyone's browser?
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah, you're right. It's probably just ghosting.
You know, the YouTube is the same. It's like when you look at the figures of watchers on the some of the channels, it's very low. It's like people that we might watch videos from, like Jungle Surfer or who have you, they don't have really big numbers. It's like only a couple of hundred.
That's true. Do you have a few more minutes to chat?
Yeah.
Okay, just give me 5 minutes. I have to take a break.
Okay, so I come back in 5 minutes too. I do something. Okay.
You're back.
De retour.
Have you been looking at peaceofmindful.com with the face chopping? I want to know your opinion on that.
But, I think I read the post he did on how to talk about conspiracy theory to your surroundings. It's the post. I'm on his website now. Do you remember?
Yes. Yeah. Well, he has contributors, including our old friend Blue Moon, mm-hmm. who is goes by the name of Tyrone over there. Yeah. And Daddy O is another one. And they were listening to one of our audio chats in the past. And
You mean the audio cut up?
No. The Peace of Mindful is their Mark's main method of.
Okay. So I see now he has a post with Dr. Phil Revisited, where he has half the face of Matt Damon and half the face of Tom Brady.
Yeah, his main thing is, again, yeah, he takes these, what Tyrone calls face chops, take a half a face and line up with another face. He claims that a lot of these old singers have been reconstituted as media personalities, and he just says the evidence speaks for itself where the faces line up. What's your take on that?
My take on that is it's very far-fetched and not really leading us anywhere specific. I think the interesting part is, are they cultivating a special lineage of people or not? I could get that, but I think when you start to use Photoshop and you size heads up, etc. Yeah, you can have a lot of similarities. Fortunately, yeah. You have that in any people's family too. I don't doubt these people are more closely related than other parts of society, because it's mostly the same people that marry in the same group. So the gene pool is like kind of more close. Yeah. But you have YouTubers that now believe that Donald Trump is played by other actors with a latex mask, so it's like, I think that this information is to take us into areas where we have very little factual proof and where we are led into a box that's the wrong one, and it's not big either. It's like if you start to believe everything Dallas Goldberg or this Mark Torkowski's character is telling us, like you live kind of in a fantasy land, and I think that's probably not a good place to be. I think it's important to relate this to our regular lives too, and in the research I've done on elites that actually invert themselves. It's like I try to relate it more to interests I have myself, and it's true that looking at cases as Tesla or Judy Wood is like instructive to where I have spent time myself, and it makes me better understand all the things that might be at stake. I'm not gonna. You always have the some weird case or whatever, but the fact is that if you look at Hollywood, you have too many these weird cases for that to be an accident. So it's like it's systematic. And I think that it's a system we need to look at, not the exceptions.
Mm-hmm. Well, he claims he has evidence where he draws a line through the pupils of the eye and then measures where the ears line up on the
head. Good luck with that.
Yeah, things you can't move, he's saying. He keeps saying he has the evidence. But the Freddie Mercury to Dr. Phil, that was definitely a severe Dallas Goldbug moment for me, where he's just that not only is it doesn't look like it's even possible, but it doesn't have a good reason to be necessary. There's more than enough people that you can control that you have to repurpose people. You know, it's
like
just
Occam's razor. It's like they do look for simple solutions. They're not, you know.
Yeah.
And you actually remarked this on Dallas Goldberg in a very effective way. I think it's like ears don't stay the same. That's one of the areas of the body that actually grows and develops.
Yeah.
So it's like they take us into areas we have little knowledge, and that may be able to sway some, but I don't think it's I think it's important to keep the big picture when you look at things and not be too focused on one or two details. I think for me, it's a little bit unusual to look at things like gender, but it's like it just became apparent that it was too many occurrences of it right now, and it's clearly something that is being talked about and even promoted. So it's like it's part of a bigger picture idea.
Well, yeah, I think you're right to look into it because they're pushing it. I don't think you would have looked into it if they weren't pushing it down our throats every day. I don't think I would care about it either. But if they're pushing it down our throats, there has to be a reason, and we should be able to examine it and push back.
Yeah, and as you say, some people do run this place, and we know only what they let us over who they are and what they really do. So it's like it's interesting to understand at least a little bit better how they play us. And I think we, to a good degree, have established that media fakery is one of the major tools they have to influence us. But apparently they have other tools too. And it's kind of a magic toolbox, it seems.
Oh, yeah. It's a big magician's toolbox. We have a just for fun, and I'm not going to say that our premier's a man, but I tell you, the Premier of Ontario, when I look at her in her 1950s style glasses, I can't help thinking that she's a man. I know I don't know if she is or not, but she's just very manly looking. If you want to punch her up on your computer.
Okay, what's her name?
Kathleen Wynne. She's just another person that won't go away. She's a great reason why there should be limits on how long these people are allowed to run the place.
Yeah, I see her now in picture, and has some very male face features in the sense that she has a wide chin, and she has a manly hairline. Has obvious signs.
I knew you'd be able to dig into her.
Yeah, so I'd say she do look overly manly for a woman. It's not surprising. I mean, I think as these people reproduce between themselves, I am completely open to the fact that they can have some features that are more less gender specific than most people, but some are just provable to not be the gender they pretend to be. So I'd say she's a case to look into, definitely. I looked into some Norwegian politicians, and I definitely see it there.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising you will have the same in Canada. Has she been in power for a long time?
Oh, yeah. Too long.
Does she have a man and children, too?
No, she has a wife.
Really? So she's lesbian?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can look up her wife or husband or whatever you want to call him. She's not exactly a female-looking type.
Oh, I see her, too, yeah. So
I don't know if she has children or whose they are. I don't want to know.
That's kind of pushing that agenda onto us in a very, you know, obvious way, because these people are very hard to identify with any gender, both of them.
Yes, I agree.
It's not nice, you know, when you know that such transgenders are presented as the real thing. It's just not nice. It's just troubling. So yeah, it's like in politics, you definitely find the same suspicions that you do in movies and in cinema, in theater. So that just proves that politicians are very much lifetime actors too. And
oh yeah, politics is acting for ugly people.
It just seems so. So it's like I don't think any person really pretty. So description. So it's like hard to unlook once you seen one or two examples where you kind of are certain that this is the case. So and be probably overly suspicious too, but I just think it's good to keep in mind that there are obvious examples of such practices, and not reassuring to see how many cases there could be. Can look like it's a more widespread practice than we would hope. So say I hope for the best, but expect the worst somehow.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't like your teacher to be a transgender somehow. It's like that's your children's teacher to not be something represented like in a human fashion. It's like that's it's like it's
how. Well, I'm more worried about the curriculum than the teachers, but yeah, it all ties together.
Yeah, what's disturbing is the fact that they seem to want to have children decide their sexuality before they have reached puberty, which is very sick.
I think so.
So we've seen like the sexualization of society, and it's like thinking of that film, A Little Sunshine, which was this beauty pageant for kids. And I thought the whole film was really, well, it's kind of revolting, actually. It's like they are lowering the age where we are supposed to start thinking about our sexuality and gender. It's seems like a waste of time.
I got mixed thoughts on child beauty pageants. I got mixed thoughts about it, but what was A Little Sunshine about exactly? I didn't catch that movie.
What's about this little girl that had a grandfather that convinced the grandchild to go to this beauty pageant and contest for being like the prettiest 5-6 year old girl, and he was like really gross, that grandfather, you know, like a pervert, like, and then he died.
Oh, okay.
And then of course she had to go to the pageant and contest.
Right, in his name.
Yeah, exactly. The pervert's name. She went and won the prize.
Oh, okay. Was it a Hollywood movie or French?
Yeah,
or what?
It was pretty popular. A Little Sunshine is the name of the film. I'll try to send the link to you for the IMDb page.
All right, that'll remind me to go find it. So it's worth watching?
Yeah, and the worst thing is, like, kids watch it. And then they probably want to go to this beauty pageant and contest.
Yeah, well, yeah, that really kind of came up with the John Benet Ramsey PSYOP, the whole idea of little girls and beauty pageants. Remember that?
I didn't follow it at the time, but I have seen a lot of YouTubers do comment on that person, but I don't know the case very well myself.
Yeah, well, that was a made-for-CNN psychological operation, I think. I don't even think the person existed, and it was just a big mystery. But I think it was a made-for-CNN news story. That's what I think it was. Just like OJ. I can't remember. I think it came after OJ.
Yeah. They do manufacture these stories, so probabilities are high. It was manufactured for mainstream media. It's like
I think it was.
Yeah, and at the same time, they manufactured the story. They manufactured the alternative version of the story, and they probably they probably invent one or two alternative media personalities to go with it. You know.
Yeah, they might. Yeah, they. Yeah, these new conspiracy type alternative media types are born out of these psyops. That's how they get started. Alex Jones came from Waco.
Exactly. Yeah. So you see,
he
that's
was
the
born into that. That was sort of how.
It's a modus operandi. Yeah. So it's like when you see a news event and then you see the first people that's going to talk about it. I think it's a big chance these people are not genuine. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. There's quite a few cases where media personalities are literally born. I shouldn't say it like that. They are created for the event.
Yeah.
I think Aaron Brown on CNN, I think he might have been promoted just for the 9/11 event.
Yeah, that they for sure had planned that well in advance. So that's a real good possibility. Sure.
Yeah. And Paula Zahn, female anchor, might have been created for that event. Ben Rather was promoted or had something to do with the JFK event. And then his last event, they kept Dan around a long time. His last event was for the George Bush military controversy. And he came out on the wrong non-patriot side of that. And they got rid of him. That was his exit from the mainstream. And then he was pushed to the fringe, sort of unceremoniously.
Yeah, so they are, of course, guiding the opposition to themselves. So it's like, are not much dissensions in the privileged group. It's against their self-interest.
Yeah, the media personalities are not on our side. They're managed, stage managed like any other actors.
Yeah, and they have much more comfortable lives than their positions should allow for.
Well, they're so important in the sales job. They're so important that they're trustworthy. It's critical.
It is. So it's like,
or it was
more than, we are educated to believe, journalism to be, a real, job, but it's not. It's acting. And they don't research anything. They're just, creating storyboards. That's journalism.
Getting back to your trans, Joan Rivers and Kathy Griffith, someone put them together. What's your take on those two twits?
I haven't looked into them. You say Kathy Griffin's?
Kathy Griffin, I believe.
Oh, yeah, she's very manly. I mean,
she's a potty mouth comedian. She basically was, I would say, a reconstitution of Joan Rivers' personality. Same exact type
and
of.
And she, I think, is dating Cher or did date Cher.
Oh, she had something to do with Cher. Yeah, I think I was looking through the chat at fakeologist.com/chat, and I think you were talking to questioning our reality. He was talking about Cher as well.
Yeah, he did. And he brought up Griffin here, and I completely agree. She has very, very few feminine traits.
Well, just her language is offensive to me, and her whole personality, and Howard Stern, who definitely is, more I think about it, more just a pornographer of mind, culture, and body, promoted her all the time. You could look at Howard Stern as a ringmaster, really, of a circus. That's really what his modern claim of fame is.
He's also been in company often with Donald Trump and very high profile politicians. So it's like he's certainly amongst the elite at the level they are.
Oh yeah, for sure, he is now. Yeah.
The question is, how high a level is the visible personalities at, you know? That's a question that's very hard to answer, you know. Are these people this visible only because, you know, they're just the front? Or do they have something, you know, do they actually, are they aware of many things that's going on? You know, it's difficult to say.
But Joan Rivers would be worth looking into. She had, I guess one clue would be the voice. Could be the voice. Her voice has always been irritatingly hoarse, which might be a mask for a male voice in the first place. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the vocal cord surgery was probably not that easy. It's not always successful either.
But
when you talk about voice, it's like a manly voice is actually a voice where you use the chest to resonate the sound. And a female All voice right. is when you bypass the chest and you just have kind of a head voice. So
nasal, yeah.
Yeah. So even a normal man can fake a quite female voice, but it's true that she has a very masculine voice. I just looked at a clip where she was going into the hospital, I think, and denounced Michelle Obama as being transgender.
I think that was her last public statement.
Yeah.
she went out on that.
Yeah, so, I mean, why would they be in front of that hospital that day, you know? Who cares? I mean, it's only the media that cares, and we know what the media is made of, so it's like, that seems to me like a fabricated story, too.
Yes. And they created a conspiracy over that maybe the elite killed her through the hospital, whatever procedure she was having, if she was having one.
Come to think of it, it's like, imagine that most of the alternative media are really agents. So they need to feed them something. So this looks like a feeding story for the alternative media. Like, okay, we need to create a story for this and that researcher. What do we have? Take a lost story with Joan Rivers before she's out of the game. memoir, so people will remember her name. So when she dies, we can make a big news story and people would buy papers and look at her images. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like a commercial for Joan Rivers. And
they have
the
to
headlines.
Create the news.
Yeah, but also as she was probably programmed to be exited, even if she died in that hospital or not, it did create the lasting memory of her to be featured in the press, you know?
That's right. And if they create a mystery at the end that's not solvable, then it gets continued discussion throughout the years.
Exactly. So we will remember her much more than if she just silently passed away, which would have been the most natural way to die when you're in your 80s.
Yeah.
I'd say fabricated parts of that story and part of the elite's attachment to fame and publicity.
Yeah, fame is an interesting thing. A guy named Deep Thoughts, that podcast, whatever his name is, he did a whole broadcast on fame. It was quite interesting. You might want to – it's not really fakeology, but you might want to listen to the guy.
That you posted on the website, right? So that was the link on the website?
Well, yes. I posted on morab.fakeologist.com and on fakeologist.com. So you can find his feed and website through that post and go through his old podcasts. He pumped out quite a few.
He has one podcast that's on the topic of fame.
Yeah, just on fame. It's interesting.
Well, it is.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Like,
again, I don't know who
to,
this guy is.
I would like to have an audience, and it's sure that the elite think of us as an audience, you know, so they do like to perform too.
Well, I think the new name for famous people is influencers. They like people that can influence others and large audiences. So they're anyone that can get an audience, and there's no real, I don't think there's a real good formula for it. So I think a lot of these people that build audiences might be fairly randomized in the sense they're not sure who's going to catch. They'll back probably many horses.
Yeah.
And they're not sure who's going to take, you see. Never always be sure who's going to be taken up by the population. But as long as you have enough horses in the race, you're going to win.
Yeah.
Either way, you back a lot of horses in your stable.
Yeah.
For instance, this Casey Neistat I follow. I follow on YouTube. He's a YouTuber. I like his videos. They're very catchy, very formulaic, and I recognize what I'm watching, so I think I'm not in any danger. But it's interesting how much of his story you want to believe. For instance, he has an application for smartphones that I couldn't quite figure out the use for. Well, most applications are completely useless, but his seemed particularly useless. And just judging by the young people I know, nobody heard of it. Which means it could just be a front. They might have actually put money into it and tried to make it work. I don't know. But apparently CNN purchased the company for $25 million, and now he's on their payroll.
But what we forget is the fact that propaganda was renamed PR, and I think programming is renamed applications.
That's right. Yeah. So why would the CIA News Network back him? Well, because he's an influencer. That's why. So even if there's no value in his company, which there probably isn't, and even if the transaction is phony baloney, there's still no doubt he's on the payroll. So they probably have to pay him a decent amount of money to keep him on their side, propagating their myths. So I thought that was pretty interesting that he just announced that he said it's a coincidence that he stopped vlogging daily, which it might be. But anyway, he's now officially working with them. So the CIA News Network, CNN is still ubiquitous, but not with the young people. And I think the young people, and you mentioned your children are into YouTube. That's where the influence is right now. And there is no, I have my own evidence that YouTube is where the eyeballs are. And yeah. They have to pay these influencers lots of money.
And actually create them too. It's like, imagine all the money they have poured into to television and the media. The media is shifting, and they have always been on the forefront of what's going to happen. So they have already all their minions in place, and I guess that most of these popular YouTube channels, they are being promoted by people that are under the elite control. And it's like, I think when it comes to information technology, they can also artificially raise the viewing numbers and promote their feature stars in a much more subconscious way than we are aware of. It's like they're probably pretty good at that by now. And I think YouTube is the same as a television to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think it would be foolish to think they wouldn't play with the numbers, because anything that's more popular than it really is going to be promoted as such, and that makes it more popular. They make it popular by saying it's popular. It's
exactly.
They understand the psychology of humans. Humans are followers by nature.
Yeah.
And they never want to stick out of the crowd.
They
always want to be in the herd. Yeah.
Yeah. They are the real influencers, if you want to.
Yeah, the money and the military does all the influencing, and they channel it through corporations of all types, personalities of all types, because they have all the money.
And I think, why not consider the TV stations and all these sites also as intelligence operations that actually do conduct research and actually are pretty well aware of how to manipulate the human emotion and are very good at psychology. I think I would suppose that most of the people in television are actually acting as agents for the elite, and it's probably very important positions too, because there they are in direct contact with the biggest public, and the public is their raw material, it's their resource. So they are very, they are very very thorough in managing their research. It's an important job for them to herd us. So herders, they are in those positions in the media, in the image industry, in the movies. So that are important positions, much more so than the military.
Yes.
Media is the military of our minds somehow.
Yeah, the military media, yeah, for sure.
So it's like people we learn to follow through television or movies, in reality, they are much more aware of the role they actually play. So it's like they're not innocent or naive people. They well know their craft.
Well, and they must know it after a while. They get the man. They know what they're doing after all. It's like any other business. I've said it many times. Once you're in a business, you understand what the goal is. Even if you didn't at the beginning, you learn it. And I think a lot of people, I think the odd quit when they know the true purpose, but most will stay in because it's just secure. People look for their own interests first, so
they start acting as young children, and they want to tell us that children, actresses and actors, they lead poor lives afterwards, but it's not true. When you look at the feature list of most actors, they started really young, so they know this from a very early age.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there's lots of failures. There's lots of child actors that bomb out once they grow up to an age where they're not good anymore. So I'm not sure
Just look at the different actors that actually succeed as adults. Most of them have featured in films very young. So it's,
Well, I think there's just as many that bomb out that fail, or more, actually. So I might have to take an opposing view on that.
Yeah, but especially if it's regular people that think they can promote their children to be movie stars because they don't know you have to be born in the right family.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they start out as regular people and then they blow up once they get to be adults.
I mean,
they blow out.
If you played theater at school or something, it's possible you would like to sacrifice a couple of years to go to Hollywood to make it on the big screen, you know? That's probably a lot of people that do.
Sure.
They probably all fail.
Well, most people that go to Hollywood are waitresses and waiters, so I'm not sure it works out too well for most people.
Yeah, exactly. But they need to give us the illusion that really happens, like everyone can become the president, right? And everyone can make it to the big screen.
Right. Yeah, those seem to always be the main promoted goals in America.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what that podcast Fame talks about. When you listen to it, you'll hear.
I'll listen to that. It sounds like a good show.
Pretty good,
So, great, Ab. So, thanks for inviting me back onto the audio chat.
You're the most active member on Fakeologist, so yeah.
I'm sorry if I've been posting too many things right now. I've just been taken a little bit too hard to look out for this new subject I'm discovering here, so it's like, I probably post
I'm enjoying
less
your
in a time. Okay,
no,
that's
great. I'm enjoying your research, and I actually think it's a good thing. Anyone who posts on the site, I like to talk about it in the audio chat. It's actually a really good way to try and further explain your post when you talk about it. I think it's much more valuable to get more of a rounded approach.
And I
audio.
Know that. Myself, I often prefer audio to other types of media too. So it's like I understand what you say.
It's a third dimension. You can't always get the message. And I'm very guilty of making very vague posts because I'm too lazy to type everything out. So anyone who thinks that I'm doing it deliberately, it's mainly because I'm just lazy or I'm doing it from a small screen, so I can't really type too much. But when we talk about it, it really gets the message across, I think. And I think people, when they listen to what we discuss on the transgender, we're coming at it from a very honest point of view. We're not trying to deceive at all. And you're doing some research, and it's very obvious once you point out all the imagery that there's something going on, and it's could be very insidious. So I like just to discuss it. When they hear us talk about it calmly, they realize we're just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and I appreciate the fact that you take interest. It's a difficult subject, and it's easy to be taken as a lunatic by discussing it. But it's like it's in front of us, and I think that once you realize that our children are going to live in a society where they're going to try to give them the option of being whatever gender they want to. It's important to remember that naturally we are not made for this.
Oh, I agree. And most people, I don't really like the way things are going. And just speaking out about them, if that's all we can do, then that's better than just sitting there and taking it. So my mind is wide open for the most part as to tricks being played. As I said at the beginning, I'm convinced that I'm easily manipulated. And by people that are way smarter than me. And at least what puts me and you above everyone else is we recognize we're being manipulated. Everyone else is oblivious. Even if the media says half the news is fake, they still don't get it.
Yeah.
Which is really disturbing, but it just shows how expert they are at managing ideas. They can take the idea that it's fake news and twist it to their advantage.
And they probably thought about this whole movement we are in for a long while before it really happened. So I agree. We are probably still manipulated. So it's important, as you say, to try to realize that and to use logic more than emotion and preconceptions and try to here and look at what's being done as far as research. We know that even alternative researchers that might be on the elite's payroll, they do offer us good information to lure us in. So it's like, it's not like the alternative media is completely made on thin air. It's made of many very palpable on very many palpable issues, and it's a lot to learn, but unfortunately also some to discard.
Well, they have to give us nuggets of truth to keep us interested and convinced as to their genuineness, and then it's very important. Yeah, they have to feed us some nuggets for sure, and we have to spend all day and all month long trying to sort it out. We just are sifting through the pile every week, every day, to try and figure out what is going on, how we're being moved, how we're being manipulated, and what we can do about it. Yeah.
Think of how hard the programming really is anchored in our brains, because it has taken me a really long while to be able to open up to many of the ideas I've later come to understand are true. So it's like most people that would find the material fecologist interesting is people that actually have spent years to discard boxes they have been sat in and preconceptions they have been taught, you know. So it's nearly like a lifetime endeavor to be able to use your mind in a logical way, not being, you know, blocked by your subconscious that has been programmed in an early age.
Yeah, we got to talk about something. We got to look at something. We're not just here to close our eyes and lay over and give up. So we may as well look at it through psychologist lenses. We understand the levels and we understand psychology now. We all have a pretty good understanding of what's going on. So it is kind of fun in a way to try and constantly figure things out, get the real message. So it's good to be able to talk to each other and compare notes, because it's happening worldwide and locally. Most people don't have a clue what's going on. So we have to use these connections while we're still allowed to, I guess.
I don't think they're really afraid of small currents like ours. We are looked at as lunatics by most people, and as you say, the fact that we are so few and far apart makes the modern communications technologies very, you know, good for us to actually be able to at least talk to this in a friendly manner and not having so oppositional discussions with people, you know, because it's hard to talk in an open way with a regular person that actually just read a newspaper and go about things as he's supposed to.
Yeah, I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for technology that can be used for either good or bad. So I'm glad that you've found your way over here and we can talk in a normal way, and hopefully other people can come on board and start giving their points of view. So anyone who wants to join in, you can just easily come on the audio chat, no problem.
So I hope you have a good rest of the day, Ab, and
I
hope to talk to you soon.
Yeah, we'll speak again. Care.
Okay, ciao, ciao.
Okay, au revoir.
Hi, this is Errol C., and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.